Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, described Proverbs chapter 3 as one of the most excellent in all of this book. And speaking personally, I would have to agree with him. Solomon here in Proverbs, and particularly in Proverbs chapter 3, is writing to his son. And he's instructing his son in how to live. He's instructing his son in the way of life and in the way of happiness. And he's doing so as a loving father. A son, this son that he had, he was concerned for him. And it was his desire that he would live for God all the days of his life. And so, these words are weighty words. And we would do very well to give great consideration to them. Verses 5 and 6 are particularly familiar to many of God's people. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Here we have words that we could describe as the formula for a successful and a meaningful life. Many Christians, if they are signing their name and they want to write a verse of Scripture afterwards, very often write Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And they're very good words to write because there's such truth in them and they're full of such meaning. Well, when I was a boy, that's what I used to do. I used to sign Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6 after my name, or write it after my name. Recently, I was looking through some Bibles, some old Bibles that I had. And there was a Bible I had when I was 10 years old. And I'd got all sorts of people to sign the Bible. We attended Antrim Free Presbyterian Church, and it was vacant for a long time. And there was different ministers each week, and I think everybody that came to speak signed my Bible and wrote a verse afterwards. And then I signed my name beside their name, and I wrote Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And they're very good words. They must obviously have meant something to me when I was a boy, when I was a child. I must have seen some value and some worth in these words. But you know, now that I am older, I can say these words not only mean something important to me, but I can truly say that I've experienced the truth of these words in my life. God has directed my path. God has blessed me beyond measure. And when I trusted in him, he has never failed me, but he's been with me every step of my life. And every part of my life, from a child very early on in my life, God has blessed me and God has been with me. In fact, as I look down through this chapter, chapter 3 of Proverbs, there's much that I can identify with here and say God has done that for me. This is the experience of my life. We can think of verses 11 and 12, which speak about how God chastens those he loves. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." And that has been my experience. God has chastened me. And God has brought me onto himself. And God has kept my life, as it were, on the straight and narrow way. And often when I would veer off and wander, God has brought me back onto himself. Verse 13 speaks about the privilege of knowing the greatest wisdom of all. It says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." And that wisdom is the wisdom of the gospel. It's the wisdom of God's truth. It's the wisdom of knowing Jesus Christ. And that is the greatest wisdom of all. That is the wisdom that makes a man happy. And that's the experience of my life. God has brought me to know the greatest wisdom of all, to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And into that place of happiness and peace with God. We can think also of verse 33 here. "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just." And I can say that is God's experience towards me. God has blessed me beyond measure. And I have so much to be thankful for. I have so much to praise the Lord for. And so as I go down through Proverbs chapter 3, there's other verses I could pick out of how God has blessed me and God has been with me and God has been good to me in life. And what a privilege it is to be able to stand and give a word of testimony to God's goodness to me. And God's love that has been shed abroad in my heart. Because my testimony is the story of how God has dealt with me. And how God has worked in my life and drew me onto himself and has kept me by his power. I was born into a Christian home. And it was a home that was not only Christian in name, but it was Christian in practice. It was a godly home. And I thank God for the home that I was born into. We had a family altar. My parents sought to bring us up in the fear of God. My mother ran a children's meeting in her own home, and she sought to evangelize the children in our local area. And so there was always that awareness of living for God and doing what God would want us to do. No matter what aspect of life I can think about, there was always that consciousness of serving God and living for God. The priority always was, are we doing that which is right before God? Are we living for God? And that was always what was the concern of my parents and our home. And we were being brought up as children. The thing that was their greatest burden wasn't our education. It wasn't our physical welfare, but it was our spiritual welfare. And that was always, we were always very conscious of that as children. And I'm sure other people perhaps looking on to our family might have thought it would have been strict. And it was very regimental, they maybe thought. But it wasn't. It was a loving home. And our home where the truth of God wasn't, it wasn't presented with an iron fist, so to speak. It was presented in love. We knew what it was for our parents to pray for us and meet together and to worship. And you know, that left a deep impression upon me and upon all of our my brothers and of one sister, because that was the environment that we grew up in. It was an environment that was very much something that stayed with us. And even when we grew up, and my brothers, particularly my other two brothers, when we got to teenage years, they rebelled a bit, and they did things they shouldn't have done. But they always were so conscious not to let our parents know, because they knew it would break their hearts. Because they knew that our parents loved the Lord. And it was their desire that we would love the Lord. That was their greatest burden, the greatest desire of their hearts. That we would go on with God. You know, I hear people sometimes say, well, you know, with children, you shouldn't ram it down their throat. You know, in a sense, you know, that is right. You shouldn't ram it down their throat in the sense that it shouldn't be, the gospel shouldn't be presented with an iron fist. But that doesn't take away from the reality that we must continually teach our children the things of God and speak to them of the things of God. Our children, the impression they ought to get from us is the things of God and of Christ are the most important things in life. That is the most important and the most essential things in life. We can dedicate so much time to education and to so many other things. But our children ought to see, and I pray that my children see this of my life, that the most important thing is the things of Christ and of God, for they are the eternal things. Everything else will end and pass away. But the things of God shall never pass away. And so we should continually present our children with the things of Christ and of God. Remember how God spoke to Israel, and he told Israel how they were to bring up their children. He said in Deuteronomy 11 and 19, "And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." In other words, in every single department of life, the truth of God must have a bearing. That was what God was saying to Israel. And the reason why I emphasize this tonight is because this was my experience. And I thank God, I bless God for the experience that he gave to me as a child. The experience that I was left with from a godly and a Christian home. And I was always so conscious of the things of God and how essential they were. And God blessed that to the salvation of my soul, because as a very young child, I came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I realized that I needed to be saved. I realized that I was a sinner. And I came to the Lord Jesus Christ as a child. I couldn't tell you what age I was exactly. I was approximately around 6 years of age. But I remember that night. I remember speaking to my mother. And she spoke to me of the things of God. And as a small child, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was converted. And God changed my life. And I have to honestly say tonight that ever since that time, I have known God's presence and been conscious of God's presence in my life. When I have sinned, God has brought me back. When I was perhaps in places where I shouldn't have been, God rebuked me and God convicted me and God made me miserable. And God has always been with me every step of the way. I've always been conscious of God's presence and God's hand upon me in my life. And as a child, I was always interested in the things of God and the Word of God. I remember as a child, I can't remember exactly what age, I think it was 11 or 12, getting a Bible for my birthday. And When I look back upon those things, I didn't think anything extraordinary about it then. But now, I look back on it, and I can say God had his hand upon me. And I always had a great interest in the things of God and in missionary work. I love to hear missionaries speak of the things of the mission field and speaking about the gospel. I love to hear of how saints in a bygone day suffered for Christ and how they were faithful for Christ. And those things always thrilled my heart and gave me a real delight, even as a child. Don't get me wrong, I wasn't a real well-behaved child. I was still a boy, and I'm told that I was a very troublesome boy in the sense that I was... My mum says I was always never doing anything bad, but could hardly ever stay out of trouble. I don't know what that means, but I was always up to mischief and always carrying on. And I was just an ordinary boy, an ordinary child. But with this, God was working in my life. And you know, we ought to give our children space to be children. Sometimes people think when children are converted and saved, then all things will change in their lives. But they're still children. They still have to grow up and be children. And the things of God were important to me even though I was a child. I can think of one missionary meeting I went to. It was soon after my birthday. And I often look back on it and laugh now, but I'd got money for my birthday, as children do. I think it came to about £24, and I thought I was a millionaire. But I went to this missionary meeting, and I was thinking, well, you know, I must give a tenth to the work of God. And so I had planned to give a tenth of the amount that I had, and the meeting went on, and then I thought, you know, God needs this money. And after the meeting, I went and I gave more than a tenth. And then I thought about it, and I went and I gave a wee bit more. And then I eventually went back and I gave the whole lot. And I laugh at it now, but it was God's working in my heart. I look back on those things and say, that was a sign of God's work of grace in my life. That I was a regenerated soul, even as a child, and in a childlike way, I had a living relationship with God and a desire to see God's work progress and prosper. And that's why I find it so difficult today when people say about they're Christians and they're saved, and there's no sign of grace. There's no fruits. But even when I was a child, I can say, Lord, the God was working in my life and making me a different person. And so God was gracious to me as a child, and God blessed me in many ways. As far as school was concerned, I absolutely hated it with all of my heart. I detested anything to do with school and schooling. My ambition as a young boy was to milk cows, to have a farm of my own, and to have the best herd of Holstein cows that ever was put together. That was my ambition. That's all I ever wanted to do as a child. And I remember arguing with my school teacher and telling my school teacher that this whole thing was a waste of time, that it was pointless, and there was no reason for me to be here because I didn't need to be here. And I'm sure the teacher was pulling out her hair at times and was trying to tell me it was for my benefit. But I hated school. The attendance officer chased me my whole time, and I had no joy in school whatsoever. In fact, I used to have terrible trouble with sickness between 8 and 9 every morning. Then after that, I was able to recover very quickly and go out and well, I had to work it off, of course. But it was a privilege to do that. And that was my ambition, to be a farmer. And when I finished school, I finished early, and I went to work at home at our farm. And that's what I wanted to do. I loved to work on the farm. And I never could see a scenario where we would not have a farm or a herd of cows. That was not on my radar. It was an impossibility. I could never see a situation where we simply wouldn't have a herd of cows. We wouldn't have a farm. Because that's what we did. Outside of the things of God, that was what took up the rest of our time. Then my parents had this thought of emigrating to Canada. And my brother and me had left school, and we were young, and our farm wasn't that big. And we thought, well, if we went to Canada, perhaps it would be beneficial. We could have a farm, and a bigger farm, and go forward that way. And it was for farming reasons that we decided to emigrate to Canada. And so we went over there, and we purchased a farm. And then we come home, and we sold our cows. And there was a period of about 2 years between selling our cows and going to Canada. And in that time, I had never worked outside of our own family farm. I was given an opportunity to go and work in other places. And one of the places I went to work was England. I went to work on a farm over there in England. And for the first time in my life, I was outside of my family environment. I had to make decisions for myself. I had to stand up and do what was right for myself. Up until this point, I just followed my parents. I'd went along with them to church. I'd done the things they did. But now I had to stand up for myself. And there was a Pentecostal church. The family on the farm went to a Pentecostal church, and I went along with them. And it was a complete mess. There was the Toronto blessing. It was charismatic. People speaking in tongues. It was chaos. I remember thinking, boy, this is nutty. And all these things that were taking place. And yet I couldn't go to them, and I couldn't open God's Word and say, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, and this is wrong, because God's Word says this. I couldn't do that. And I began to think, and I thought, you know, I says, well, listen, I read my Bible, but I don't really know my Bible. I can't stand up and say to these people, listen, this is all wrong. You can't behave like this. God is not to be worshipped in this way. And so I decided that when I would come back from England, I would go to the Free Presbyterian Church. We had been brought up originally in the Free Presbyterian Church, but there was trouble in the church in Antrim, and my parents had left and went to the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. And as a child, I always remember the Free Church and how it presented the gospel so clearly. The truth of God came so sincerely and earnestly. And I decided when I would come back from England, I would go back to the Free Presbyterian Church. And so I went back. And I went to the Free Church, and I sat under the ministry of the Free Church. I began to grow in grace. And God began to work in my life. And I began to buy books, and I would have read the books, and I had learned the things of God. And then I started to get involved in God's work, doing outreach on different nights of the week. And for a period of about a year, maybe more, 2 years, we were involved in the things of God. And it was a great delight. We really enjoyed doing that. And we were out maybe 3 or 4 nights every week in outreach and doing different things. And it became the thing that we really started to enjoy more than anything else. And then God began to speak to me about Bible college. And I put these things to the back of my mind. I wanted to serve God, but no, I couldn't do that. No way. Farming was no longer the most important thing in my life, but it was still important. And at the end of the day, I had no qualifications. I'd skipped most of school. And therefore, the thought of going into Bible college was something that absolutely terrorized me. It was absolutely frightening to think about it. And that having to stand up in front of people and speak to people in a public meeting, no way, that is not for me. I can't do that. But God continued to speak to me. And he continued every time that I opened up my Bible, God was speaking to me. And he continued to challenge me. In the meantime, I had got another temporary job in Northern Ireland, and my parents had been on ahead to Canada. But I had this temporary job, and I was going to see it out in Northern Ireland. And then I met Janet, and she put another spanner in the works. And so then we had to get married. And we got married, and after we got married, the process of Janet's immigration had to go through. So that set the thing back another period of time. And all my immigration was through. I could have went at any time, but now that we were married, we had to wait till Janet's went through. And I remember shortly after we got married, there was a man at the wedding, and we were getting married, and I met him at a funeral later on. And he says, how's things? And I said, I thought he was talking about going to Canada. And I says, oh, well, we're just waiting on Janet's immigration. And he says to me, what do you tell you? You'll never be in Canada. You'll be in Bible college. And I says, boy, I said, dear, you must be drinking. And I had never spoke to anybody about it. And I was shocked. He really took me back that day. But God continued to speak to me. And as Janet's, we were waiting on Janet's immigration and her papers. I knew it wasn't right. We shouldn't be doing this. I knew what I had to do, but there was that great struggle in my heart. I remember one day getting before God and praying that God would leave me alone. That God would give me some peace. And arguing with God, listen, I'm doing all this work. I'm doing outreach. I'm trying to be faithful to you. Give me peace and leave me alone. There was that struggle within my heart. And every time I opened up the Bible, God was speaking to me. No matter what service I went to, God was speaking to me. And there was such a struggle. I can think of 2 meetings especially. There was one down in Guildford in the Flame. There used to be a youth meeting down there in Guildford, and it was called The Flame, and the Reverend John Hanna was speaking about the work in Spain. And he was just speaking about the work in Spain. He wasn't even making an appeal to the young people. But after the meeting was finished, the young man that was leading the meeting got up and he said, "Perhaps there's someone here tonight and God has been speaking to you, but you're telling God you couldn't do it." And that was me. And that night, tears ran down my face. I could not believe it. I was so much under conviction. A short time later, in her own prayer meeting in Randallstown, the Reverend Mellon was preaching. I don't know what he was preaching about, but he just happened to say, "There's not many young people in the Bible college today." And I thought, well, hey, he's just getting at me, isn't he? I thought he had me singled out in the meeting, and he was aiming for me. He had no idea. None whatsoever. Because I hadn't even spoke to him about it. And so the struggle in my heart was real. Then one day I was reading in God's Word. I was reading Isaiah chapter 41 and the verse 10. And God really spoke to me out of this verse. He said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And you know, that verse came to my heart like a bolt of lightning. And I knew what I had to do. And in this verse, it answered my every argument, everything that I resisted with, and everything that I argued with God over. And God stopped every single argument. And so I knew what I had to do. Therefore, I applied to go to the college. I had to tell my family that I wasn't going to Canada, which wasn't an easy thing to do at all, because the reason why they were in Canada was because of me and my brother. And so that wasn't easy. But God gave us grace, and so we went to apply for a Bible college. We had to do our exams, our entrance exams. And I'd never set an exam in my life. Did tests at school, but I'd never set an exam. Never done one GCSE. Never once. And so I began to do my exams, and my auntie, who was a teacher, she said, "Well, do a piece of work and let me see it." And so I did this piece of work, and she says, "Well, maybe you should do one exam every 3 years." And I said, "No, I'm doing it in 6 months." And I did it in 6 months. And I got good results to the glory of God. And God helped me, and God gave me grace. I remember when I was farming, I could have told you every single pedigree of our cows that were on the farm, generations back. And I said to myself, if I can learn pedigrees, I can learn the greatest truth of all the things of God. And so we were enabled to do the exams, and we got into Bible college. And God was with us through Bible college every step of the way. God helped us, and God gave us grace. We entered Bible college with 2 children, and we left with 4 children. And so God blessed us in everything, in our marriage and in our life. And I was just thinking, as I was preparing a few thoughts for this meeting tonight, that over our married life, we've lived in 4 different houses, and the manse is now the 4th house. In the 3 other houses, we've had 2 children in each one. And so, it's only a joke. God has blessed us, and God has been with us in wonderful ways. Even in college, God was preparing me for the years that would follow. The years that would follow after Bible college. Because in Bible college, I had to start to work to fund us as a family. And I started to work with my father-in-law, who was a heating engineer. And I worked with him, and I learned the trade. And then as I left Bible college, I had something to fall back upon. And I started to go out and to work. And when we left Bible college, everything in our lives was very temporary. Everything. I remember thinking, I think I've said this before, about how when I left Bible college, I needed a new pair of working boots. And I thought, well, I don't know if I will buy them or not. Because, well, I might need them. It was also temporary. But we just had to continue to work and go on. And then every single decision we made in our family and even in business, it was all temporary. Even buying a van, we were buying a van of thousands of pounds, and you're thinking, well, you know, I might need this. But we just bought it and went on ahead, and even doing things in the home that we were living in, we were thinking always, well, should we do this? Because should we spend this money? And we lived continually together. It was always temporary, and people would have seen things perhaps like we were doing well in business and God was blessing us, and thinking, well, they probably forgot about it all, but we'd never forgot about it. Every day we were living almost with our bags packed, not literally, but in our minds. And God blessed us and God sustained us even in those days. Because I never lost the desire to preach God's word. I never lost the desire to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And at times it felt very wearisome because you were trying to work and trying to preach. And at times you felt that you were so useless to your own home church. Because you were away all the time preaching. And because you were away all the time preaching, you could never do anything in your own home church. Therefore, you were busy all the time, but you felt you were going nowhere. And that's a very hard situation to be in. We ought to pray for a young man that have finished Bible college and that God will give them grace and give them help. But that is a difficult situation to be in. But God was with us and he gave us grace and he never took away the burden of my heart to preach his word and to share the gospel. And so when you called me to be your minister, it was God opening a door at his own appointed time. For the years I did work in secular employment, God blessed me abundantly. And he blessed me, and he blessed me, and he blessed me again. I never was one day without work. Never one day. And that was through the recession. Hard days. Difficult days. And there was other men that I knew, and they had been in business for years, and they had no work. But God always gave me work. And sometimes people would have met me in the church and would have said, you know, brother, we're praying for you. You know, we're praying that God will open a door for you and trying to encourage you. But God was so blessing me in business that at times I just rejoiced in what he had done in my life and what he was doing in my life. And God was good and God was gracious. And I look back to that time, I can say God's hand was in it all of the time. And God sustained us every day. It is a great privilege to serve God. There is no greater privilege than to serve God and serving you. And it is my prayer that what God has done in my life, he will do in the life of others. I'm just a sinner. A vile sinner that deserves hell. A sinner that doesn't deserve one look from a merciful God. But God has not only given me mercy, he's given me his son to be my savior. And he's died for me. And he's brought me onto himself. And I'm a child of God tonight, and I can say glory to God. And God has done wonderful things for me. And what he's done for me, it is my desire that he will do for you. And that he will save you and make you his child. When I closed my business, people kept saying, are you going to give it all up? Are you giving the whole thing up? Like, I couldn't believe it. Just this week, there was a man called out to buy some stuff that I had left over from business. And when he seen the stuff that I had, he said, listen, you didn't give all this up, did you? How could you do that? But I have to honestly say, I don't feel I've given anything up. Absolutely nothing. The idea of giving up something means that you're losing out. And you can't lose out with God. You can't lose out with God. That's an impossibility. You can only gain, you can only make success and make good with God. And so I've never lost out. God has blessed me and God has been with me. And my prayer and desire is that God remember his work in Garva. And God would remember his people here in this church, and that we would grow in grace, and that I would grow in grace, and that you would grow in grace. And we would be a band of people separated unto God, serving him in these days and living for him. I believe that God has got a people in this place. I believe God has a people in Garva, because this is why he has preserved his testimony. And I believe God can change homes in this place and transform lives in Garva. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe that. But I believe that with all of my heart. God has shown such mercy and grace to me. And I've experienced God's goodness in my life in such abundance. But I can say, why could God not do that for others? Of course he could. He could do it time and time and time and time again. He is the Almighty God. Nothing is impossible with him. So therefore, because God is merciful and gracious, how we ought to seek him. That he will come in these days. That he will remember his work here. And God will bless us as we seek to labor together. Let me thank you for listening tonight. It is a privilege to give a word of testimony. But what about you? What about you tonight? Could you give a word of testimony? And just simply tell how Christ has changed you. Made you a different person. If you're in Christ tonight, could you speak of God's mercy in your life? And that experience of living in fellowship with God, that's what it is to be a Christian. There's mercy with God. There's forgiveness of God. If you will come, just as I came as a child, in childlike faith and embrace Jesus Christ in the gospel, that even this night you will come and you will know life more abundant in the Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't recommend the gospel anymore. Proverbs 3 here says in the verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. I can say I'm that happy man. Happy man. Because Christ has made me happy. I want for nothing. And that's what the gospel does. In this world, there's many people that are looking for happiness. But here it is, in the gospel. Oh, that you would be that happy person tonight. May God even give you grace to come and take Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen.